Welcome back to Condor Currents, the podcast that flows through the latest in computer architecture research and RISC-V innovation. I'm Ty Garibay, president of Condor Computing, and I'm pumped for today's episode. We've got some genuinely fascinating research to dig into. We're talking about smarter prefetching for data center workloads, dynamic microarchitectural policy selection, and on the news side, AMD's Zen 6 is cooking up something interesting for gamers. There's a slick new context cache approach for multi-core RISC-V processors, and quantum microarchitecture is starting to get real. But first, this episode is brought to you by Condor Computing, high-performance RISC-V processor IP from Andes Technology, the world's leading RISC-V processor IP provider with 30% market share and over 12 billion SoCs shipped. Learn more at condorcomputing.com. All right, let's get into it. First up, we're diving into a paper titled Themis, Software-Defined Hardware Prefetching. This one comes from Kisuke Kamahori, Neil Adit Kanzu, and colleagues. And honestly, I think this paper is addressing one of the most persistent headaches in modern processor design, the gap between how fast our compute cores run and how quickly memory can feed them data. So let's set the scene. In data center workloads, a huge chunk of your stall cycles, the cycles where your processor is just sitting there twiddling its thumbs, come from data cache misses. The processor wants a piece of data, goes to look for it in the cache, and it's not there. So now it has to go all the way out to main memory, which is orders of magnitude slower. Hardware prefetchers are the solution the industry has been deploying for years, the idea being that the processor tries to predict what data it's going to need and fetches it ahead of time before the compute unit actually asks for it. It's like a good waiter who refills your water glass before it's empty, great in theory. But here's the problem, and this is where the paper gets really interesting. To achieve high coverage, meaning to actually catch most of those cache misses before they happen, hardware prefetchers tend to get aggressive. And when they get aggressive, they start making mistakes. They fetch data that the processor never actually ends up using. In a single tenant system, that's annoying but manageable. In a data center where you've got dozens or hundreds of workloads competing for the same memory bandwidth, that wasted bandwidth becomes a real resource crisis. It's like having a waiter who's so eager to refill drinks that they're constantly running back and forth carrying glasses for tables that don't need them, jamming up the kitchen. What Themis proposes is genuinely elegant. The key insight is that data center workloads often have a lot of software-level knowledge about their own access patterns, knowledge that the hardware prefetchers simply can't see. So rather than relying entirely on the hardware to guess, Themis creates a software-defined interface for prefetching software can annotate or guide the prefetcher with higher-level semantic information about what data it's actually going to need. The hardware then uses that guidance to make smarter, more targeted prefetch decisions, high coverage without the wasteful, aggressive speculation. The name Themis is fitting in Greek mythology. Themis is the goddess of justice and order, and that's essentially what this system brings to prefetching, a more ordered, fair, and precise allocation of memory bandwidth resources. Rather than one workload's aggressive prefetcher stealing bandwidth from everything else on the machine, you get a more equitable system that's tuned to actual software intent. From an architecture standpoint, this is a really important direction as we push into more heterogeneous and multi-tenant compute environments, and that's absolutely the world we're building for at Condor Computing. With our RISC-V IP, the interaction between software and hardware has to get smarter. The days of purely opaque hardware heuristics doing all the heavy lifting are numbered. Software-defined hardware is a theme that keeps coming up, and for good reason, it gives you the tunability and the semantic awareness that pure hardware logic just can't achieve on its own. This is a paper worth reading if you're doing any work in memory subsystem design. Check the show notes for links. All right, paper number two, and this one is near and dear to my heart because it's about something that I think is chronically underappreciated in processor design research. The interaction between microarchitectural policies. The paper is Beyond Static Policies, Dynamic Selection Among Modern Microarchitectural Policies from Yan-Sin Zhang, Ian McDougall, Jonan Lee, and colleagues. So here's the setup. Modern processors are full of policies, rules that govern how different parts of the chip behave. Your prefetchers are policies. Your branch predictors are policies. Your cache replacement rules are policies. Your instruction schedulers are policies. And individually, each of these has been studied to death. Researchers will run a benchmark sweep, try policy A versus policy B, declare a winner, and move on. That's been the standard methodology for decades. But here's the dirty secret. A policy that wins on its own might lose when you combine it with another policy. These things interact. They're not independent. It's like hiring the best individual players for a sports team without thinking about how they play together. You might end up with a roster full of stars who don't complement each other at all. What this research team did is set up a systematic composition study. They looked at 201 data cache prefetchers, 201 instruction cache prefetchers, and 202 cache replacement policies. So that's a combinatorial space of policy combinations. And they ran this across 490 execution phases from 49 spec CPU, 206 and spec CPU, 217 traces. That's a serious empirical data set. They defined something they call the best global static policy, or BGSP, which is the single combination that performs best across all phases. But then they go further and ask, what if instead of committing to one static policy combination, you could dynamically select the right combination for each phase at runtime? And this is where it gets exciting for architects. The gap between the best static combination and the dynamically optimal selection turns out to be meaningful. There's real performance left on the table when you lock in a single policy set and never adapt. Different phases of execution, think a database doing a sequential scan versus a random lookup versus sorting, have fundamentally different memory access characteristics. The prefetcher that's perfect for one phase might actively hurt you in another. Now, the practical challenge is, how do you build the runtime machinery to detect which phase you're in and switch policies accordingly without that overhead eating your gains? That's the engineering puzzle this kind of work opens up, and it's directly relevant to processor IP design. When we think about building configurable RISC-V cores, which is very much part of what we do at Condor Computing, with Andes Technologies platform having well-defined policy interfaces that can be tuned per deployment or even per runtime context is a huge advantage. This research gives us empirical grounding for why that flexibility matters. Don't sleep on this one. The show notes have the full link. Okay, let's shift gears to the news desk. First up, AMD Zen 6. KitGuru is reporting that AMD's upcoming Zen 6 CPU architecture may include new optimizations specifically aimed at tackling game stutter.
And if you're a gamer, or if you follow consumer CPU architecture, you know that stutter is one of those issues that benchmark numbers don't always capture, but that users absolutely feel. So what's stutter in gaming context? Stutter happens when frame times are inconsistent, even if your average frames per second looks great. If individual frames are taking wildly different amounts of time to render, you get that jarring, choppy feel. It's not about raw throughput. It's about consistency and latency distribution. And that turns out to be a genuinely interesting microarchitectural problem. Game workloads are notoriously difficult for CPUs. They have irregular memory access patterns, lots of branching mixed instruction streams, and they tend to be latency sensitive in ways that synthetic benchmarks don't capture. So the fact that AMD is apparently investing specific microarchitectural effort into Zen 6 to address this tells us a few things. First, it tells us that AMD is listening to its gaming user base and taking those use cases seriously as design constraints, not just as marketing checkboxes. Second, it suggests that there are still meaningful wins available in the architecture for these latency-sensitive workloads, which is encouraging from a research standpoint. We don't have the full details on what these optimizations look like under the hood. AMD isn't exactly publishing their internal design docs, but speculation in the architecture community tends to focus on things like prefix tuning for irregular access patterns, branch predictor improvements for game style code, and potentially better handling of the operating system interrupts and context switches that can introduce those micro stalls. Any or all of those could contribute to smoother frame time distributions. From a broader architecture perspective, this is a good reminder that real-world workload characterization drives real architectural decisions. The gaming market is enormous, and games push CPUs in ways that differ significantly from traditional HPC or server workloads. It's exactly the kind of domain-specific optimization challenge that makes computer architecture such a rich field. We'll be watching Zen 6 closely as more details emerge.
Next up in the news, and this one is right in my wheelhouse, there's a new paper out via Wiley Online Library on migration using context cache for multicore RISC-V processors. Now, context migration in multicore systems is one of those foundational challenges that doesn't get enough spotlight. So let's talk about why this matters. In a multicore processor, you've got multiple cores running tasks, and the operating system or runtime needs to be able to move tasks between cores. That's migration. Maybe one core is getting hot, maybe load balancing requires it, maybe you're doing power management. The problem is that when you migrate a task, you're dragging along its context, its register state, its stack, its cache footprint. And that last part is the killer. When a task moves to a new core, its working set is no longer in the local cache of that core. You get a cold start penalty that can significantly hurt performance right after migration. What this research is proposing is a dedicated context cache
essentially a hardware mechanism that preserves and accelerates the transfer of context information when a task migrates between cores in a RISC-V multi-core system.
The idea is to reduce that cold start penalty and make migration cheaper, which in turn makes the system more agile in its ability to rebalance workloads without paying a big performance tax. For RISC-V specifically, this is particularly relevant. One of the beautiful things about RISC-V is its modularity and extensibility. You can add custom extensions, custom hardware mechanisms, exactly the kind of context cache proposed here, without fighting against a monolithic proprietary ISA. The RISC-V ecosystem is purpose-built for this kind of innovation. At Andy's Technology, the foundation of our RISC-V IP portfolio is precisely this kind of thoughtful, extensible design philosophy. Being able to add application-specific microarchitectural features to a RISC-V core, whether that's for embedded, mobile, or high-performance compute, is a superpower that proprietary architectures struggle to match. The implications here go beyond just task migration. Better context management has ripple effects on virtualization, on real-time operating system performance, on power management strategies.
Any system that needs to rapidly switch between tasks or cores, and that's most interesting computing systems today, benefits from reducing the overhead of that switching. This is exactly the kind of systems-level RISC-V research that I love seeing, and it's great to see it getting published and recognized. Check the show notes for the Wiley link, and finally for today's news, this one's a little more out there, but in the best possible way, the IEEE Computer Society is reporting on QMA, a quantum microarchitecture framework that researchers say bridges the gap in processor system stacks. And yes, we're talking about quantum computing microarchitecture. Stay with me here. Because this is genuinely fascinating. So here's the context. Quantum computing has been progressing rapidly at the physical layer. We're seeing more qubits, better coherence times, lower error rates. But there's a massive gap between the raw quantum physics happening at the qubit level and the software and algorithms that programmers want to run. Classical computing has decades of microarchitecture layering that bridges physics to software pipelines, caches, out-of-order execution, all of it.
Quantum computing has been missing that middle layer. You've got quantum physics on one end, quantum algorithms on the other, and a lot of hand-waving in between. QMA is an attempt to build that microarchitectural bridge for quantum systems, defining the equivalent of instruction pipelines, control flow, and resource management for quantum processors. That's a genuinely hard problem because quantum systems have properties that have no classical analog superposition entanglement. The fact that you can't copy quantum state, the fact that measurement destroys state. So you can't just take classical microarchitecture concepts and port them over directly. You have to rethink them from scratch. What makes this significant from an architecture perspective is that it signals the field maturing. When researchers start talking about quantum microarchitecture, not just quantum algorithms or quantum hardware, but the system stack in between, it means the community is starting to think seriously about building real programmable, general purpose quantum computers rather than just proof of concept demonstrations. That's a huge step.
Now, is quantum going to replace classical computing anytime soon? No. Classical processors, including the RISC-V cores we're building and selling, are going to be dominant for a very long time. And there are whole classes of problems where classical compute will always win. But the quantum computing space is going to need serious microarchitecture expertise. And I think we're going to see a lot of cross-pollination between the classical and quantum architecture communities over the next decade. The people who understand pipelines, memory hierarchies, and instruction-level parallelism are going to be valuable contributors to quantum systems design. Worth keeping an eye on. IEEE Computer Society link is in the show notes, all right? That's a wrap on today's Condor Currents. We covered smarter software-guided prefetching with Thamus, the underappreciated power of dynamic policy composition in microarchitecture, AMD Zen 6 gunning for smoother gaming, context cache innovation for multicore RISC-V, and the early but exciting emergence of quantum microarchitecture. Genuinely great day for architecture news.
Condor Currents, brought to you by Condor Computing, part of Andy's Technologies RISC-V processor IP portfolio. If you're not subscribed yet, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. We drop new episodes daily, and you don't want to miss what we've got coming. Tomorrow, we're diving into more cutting-edge architecture research, and trust me, the pipeline is full. I'm Ty Garibay, and I'll see you in the next one.